Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, if you're a parent, chances are that what scares you most about the coronavirus is the impact the pandemic could have on the kids you love. So today, we're discussing how to overcome common parenting hurdles during the coronavirus lockdown. And before I introduce my guest today, parents, I want to let you know about a free weekly newsletter called the Plugged In Parent Cheat Sheet. It is a fun, easy-to-follow tool that expands the range of conversations you can have with your teenagers. It will keep you as a parent plugged into the most popular tween and teen entertainment choices. For your easy-to-follow newsletter about pop culture exclusively for parents, sign up at pluggedinparent.guide. Now, my guest today is Nancy Kislin. Nancy is a nationally recognized child, adolescent, family psychotherapist, professor, author, and speaker who is a leading expert on raising resilient and healthy children. She has more than 28 years of experience across therapy and education. She is also the author of the book Lockdown: Talking to Your Kids About School Violence, a book that examines the psychological and emotional impact of lockdown culture on children. For more information about Nancy, please go to nancykislintherapy.com. So welcome to the program, Nancy. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great to talk with you. And what an important topic about overcoming common parenting hurdles during the coronavirus lockdown. Now, Nancy, I know you've written about your own struggles and challenges as a parent because your daughter actually had the coronavirus. Can you share briefly what you experienced and how your daughter is doing now?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. My daughter, Gabrielle, is 100% recovered. We are so blessed and full of gratitude because so many people aren't in the place we are. My daughter is in her late 20s, and she's an attorney in the city, and she contracted COVID early on. And the first wave, we describe it as waves. The first wave was bad, and then it just continued. So she actually had four waves. And as a parent, what it brought up was that we can't fix it all. Like, that was really hard for me to deal with. And the fact that she lived on her own and we couldn't bring her where we live, there were so many opportunities to freak out, which of course I had those moments, but also really profound opportunities to reassess what is important in life and what we want to put our focus on as a family, as me, Nancy, therapist, mom. So thank God she is now.
I am so glad that she is doing better, Nancy. I remember when I first read your blog on these waves and about your daughter, I felt the anxiety and pain being a parent as well. And I think that's such an important message that's so very hard for us as parents, that we can't fix everything and we can't control everything for our children. Are there any tips for parents, at least about that issue? How did you deal and manage that you can't fix everything and we want to?
I think the first thing I really had to do, and my daughter's very articulate, we're very close, is that I couldn't put my anxiety onto her. I had to really monitor what was coming out of my mouth, as well as the tone of the messages. So I might want to have suggested, which of course I did, like, use these essential oils, take this cough medicine. But was it full with, oh my God, this is the end of the world? Or I was like, yo, I was reading an article and it says that this type of herbal medicine can be helpful, right? It's all in me taking responsibility for what comes out of my mouth.
Absolutely. And that can be hard, because it's not only what we say, but how we say it, as you're suggesting. So not to put our own anxiety, fears, and concerns onto our children. And that helps. And suggesting ways that they may get better, or use self-care to help themselves. And, you know, as I change your role from parent, and I greatly appreciate you sharing your story, Nancy, with us and being so open and honest. But as I share your role going from a parent to a psychotherapist, what are you seeing these days in terms of how children and adolescents are reacting to these very challenging and different times?
It's such a profoundly different time, right? We don't have a blueprint to look at this. And I find that I have to keep reassessing my advice. And I think what I know in the little world that I work with right here in New Jersey, as well as families that I work with all around the country, is that there is a profound sadness that's happening. And it's okay that we have the word, you know, I call it a collective trauma, that this is traumatic and it's okay to call it that. Yes, it's sad beyond words that so many people are dying. But to the teenager who's not going to their senior prom, that's really hard too. And all the losses and all those things, I believe that we have to create space and allow ourselves to be like, yeah, this is a lot. And what I'm seeing is so many kids are sad, but using the word anxious more than sad.
Introducing
using
a different
anxious.
Kind of
time. I have so much anxiety comes out much quicker than, what they're describing sounds like depression to me, but the way they're identifying is, I'm so anxious.
Mm-hmm. And so that's so interesting, because I shouldn't then, as a parent, given what you're saying, say to my child, well, at least you're happy and healthy. I know you're not going to your prom, you're not going to your graduation, you're not having another event or a party, you can't go to summer camp. So I shouldn't say, at least you're not this, is what you're saying.
Because where I know that it's so tempting, because I say that too, like, oh, thank goodness we're healthy now, right? Thank goodness we're all healthy. It's that same kind of what I used to call the Pollyanna, like, we just want to make it really nice. But are we skipping over the fact that we need to let them have their space to really grieve their losses? And what we know about trauma is that processing the experiences, the loss, is so fundamentally helpful, right? So I always say, get curious about what your child is thinking or feeling. So when you want to go in and say, at least, I would stop, take a couple of deep breaths, and get curious and ask an open-ended question. You know, what are you and your friends talking about in terms of not having the senior prom? Are you doing a virtual prom? So kind of going in there open-ended, as opposed to, at least you feel this way. Kind of just, I imagine they just look at you or don't even look at you like, yeah, that was helpful, Mom, right? Like, what did they do
right
with that?
So you're suggesting then, Nancy, that one common hurdle that parents may be having is that they're not curious enough, or they're not allowing their children to express themselves. And instead, they just want them to be happy and everything's okay and everything like that. And so that's one hurdle. Are there other parenting struggles and hurdles that parents are experiencing?
I think the way you just put that is so perfect, because that leads into the next hurdle that we are all seeing, right, is this addiction, obsession with being on screens. We desperately need it. Our children need it. They're learning school, and we can make all those arguments. But what I see and hear is children, and I've been doing my own little informal study the last couple of weeks, and the average age, I'm talking to kids, middle school, high school, and I ask, how many hours a day are you spending on your devices? The average, 10 to 15 hours a day.
Wow.
These children are spending on devices. So when we go back to that hurdle and the relationship with the parents, I think that parents have so much on their plate, parents working from home, trying to be the teachers. We know all that. But what I see also is they feel so bad. We feel so badly that they don't have their big football game or their big baseball game. So they're loosening the reins. They're loosening the routine, the expectations. Parents who might have kept their kids more on a strict, what I said, diet of screen time, you know, maybe 6-7 hours a day, now all bets are off. And that, to me, is one of the biggest hurdles, because we don't know. There's no science yet to really tell us what happens to the developing brain who's spending 10 to 15 hours a day. Right?
And that's so long, 10 to 15 hours every single day. I'm exhausted just thinking about it. And so you're right. We don't know what it does to the child or young adult's brain. But how do I then, as a parent, structure that screen time? I know, you know, many parents are helping their kids, and their kids are, as you said, you know, learning schoolwork, connecting with friends, having virtual family meetings. So how do I structure, and do I say don't have that much time?
I always like to put the problem to the child, to the family. So I'm a big believer in having Sunday night family meetings where we talk about everything you need to talk about, and not just parents lecturing kids. No, I'm not recommending that. I'm suggesting that everyone have a chance to talk about. It could be as basic as, hey, what do we want to eat next week? To what chores are getting done? What fun projects? Screen time. What are you guys finding that you're interested in? Oh, TikTok. You're spending a lot of time on TikTok, or you're hanging out with your friends on House Party. Really important for parents to know about House Party. And then bring the problem to the child. So if I'm talking to a 15-year-old girl, and, you know, right, if people have iPhones, you can go right into settings and see, it breaks it down exactly where the usage is, and share that and get curious. Oh, wow, this says yesterday you spent 11 hours chatting with your friends. What were you guys doing? How did you feel afterwards? Did you eat yesterday? Did you get any exercise? Engage them in the conversation. Engage them. Because that's the way I work with the teams that I work with. And when you put it into that way, hopefully their defenses go down. And our kids are smart. They know that it's not healthy for them. They just need guidance. But they also need, you know, what we're up against is this addiction. Yeah, I don't know about you, but like, I've never lost time. Like, I lose time when I'm on Facebook, right? Like, minutes just disappear. So to say, for the parent to say, oh, they need to connect with their friends and they need all that, I agree. But everything in moderation, everything with a sense of responsibility. Because I look at this time as, how are we using this time? I want to empower the parent to, how are you using this time to raise a resilient child who's ready to re-enter that world? And maybe it's in 3 weeks, maybe it's in 3 months. But if we just leave them alone in their room, which is where so many children are spending those 15 hours on screen time, if we just leave them alone, and they're not moving their bodies and their minds, how are we helping to build resiliency?
Oh, I loved all of your tips. Let me just recap for listeners, Nancy. You talked about family meetings on Sundays and at least having a meeting time where you ask questions, you are curious what people are doing, what people want in the house, who's doing what, mealtime. You also talked about engaging with your children, asking questions, being curious, don't lecture. You also talked about, yes, screen time, connecting with friends is important, but everything in moderation. You also mentioned house party, and that's very important for parents to learn about. What is house party?
House party seems to be particularly popular with middle school and high school. And what house party is it's an app where, say, you and I send you a text and say, Terry, 12 o'clock tonight, we're all meeting on house party. And there's how we get there. The problem with house party is it's not private. So we might send out to 10 of our besties or 30 of our besties, but then that doesn't stop someone else who we have no idea who it is to jump into the party. That's one thing. But what else makes, I think, is important for parents to know is a lot of parents may used to have the policy that phones were not kept in a child's bedroom. Right. But now that's all gone. Right. I have yet to find a parent who's keeping that one up. So the kids go to bed, quote unquote, the parents go to bed. And all of a sudden, there's a whole new life that happens. 12 o'clock, everyone sneaks downstairs or wherever they go, and they join and they go on house party. And I don't fault the kids for doing it. They desperately need to connect. What I think is important as a parent is that you are aware of it. And just like you would ask questions if you were dropping your kid off at a party or they were going to a party, who's going to be there? Is there alcohol involved? Because lots of kids are drinking these days and smoking weed. It's not that that stopped. And the big popular game that I hear about is the old truth or dare, which I'm sure everyone remembers truth or dare. Now they've taken it up a few levels, and it's paranoia, which just use your imagination. And what concerns me, and I say a lot to the kids I work with, is you don't know who else just popped into your house party. And if you're playing truth or dare and you might have got dared to take your shirt off, who's videotaping you? Who just took a picture of you? Privacy is a huge issue. And that's where I really want to empower that parent to say, hey, let me do a little research on my own and then get curious and see what your kid is saying about it. And the interesting thing is it shows up. You can see what apps your kids are spending time on. And so they're spending a lot of time on house party and TikTok, and Netflix started, Netflix Hangout.
Yes, Netflix something, I agree. And I love the notion, Nancy, of empowering parents. So you don't have to just let it happen. Have discussions with your children. Talk to your children about it. Talk to them about safety. Talk to them about alcohol or weed. Talk to them about privacy issues. Don't sweep it underneath the rug. Make sure you talk to your parents about house party and safety issues and privacy issues. Excellent discussion, Nancy. What are some other struggles or hurdles that parents are experiencing during lockdown and the general pandemic?
Two things that I have been on my radar is the summer camps. I know the camp movement that I grew up in and worked for many, many years announced 2 weeks ago that camp is closed for the summer. And what that means to the child on so many levels, and I could talk forever about that, but I think, again, it goes back to loss, what we said earlier about loss. This can be a huge loss for the child, and don't brush it over. Let them grieve and then move to action, right? What's the action? You know, option one, you sitting in your bedroom all summer moping, nope, that's not a good option. If you need to do that for a few days, okay. But how are we going to move through that? And how can you pull and use it as a great time to build a better communication between child and parent? I really want to know more. What did you love about camp? Oh, you love this. Well, we can't do tie-dye at camp, but hey, look, we can just order tie-dye and tie-dye this summer. Of course, it's not the same thing, but it's creating resiliency, right? It's thinking outside the box. The other thing that I think is a huge challenge, and I think we're at the tip of the iceberg, is how do parents talk about all this death and dying? And that is going to be a conversation people like you and I are really going to have to help parents and grandparents with, because there's so much loss. And most of us, let's be honest, are uncomfortable talking about death and dying. And for me, I always share stories, and I encourage parents to share stories with their children. And it could be a story of, hey, when I was 16, my grandfather passed away. And share, don't go on for a half hour, but just share a little bit of vulnerability of what it was like to cry at that time, to feel that loss. Because those are the teachable moments. Those are the kind of conversations that we are going to have as a community to help our children. Because today, what was it, 82,000 people have passed away in our country. How do we even begin to explain that? And on the other side of that is, even when we're talking about the death and dying, we still have a huge responsibility, and our children need us to remind them that they're safe, that we're here to take care of them, that yes, this is happening around us, but look what we're doing, and have that kind of conversation of how.
And those are very difficult conversations, not only about death and dying, but the safety issue as well, because many parents don't know what that means right now. What does safety equal? Health safety, keeping a child in your house. So those are difficult conversations. And I want to just go back as well. We only have a few minutes left to Nancy about summer camps and allowing your children to grieve and then take action. And I liked that again, being curious and talking to your children. What did you like about summer camp? How can we incorporate or do some of what you loved into you and me during this summer, or you over the summer? So that is so important. And we only have a few minutes left, Nancy, as I said. If there's one message that you'd like listeners to take away from the program, what might that be today?
Self-care. This is so hard for you, the parent, the grandparents. My heart goes out. And now more than ever, you need to start with your own self-care. And there are so many people like you and me that are here to help and guide and develop and tweak and keep evolving the self-care, because you are the role model. And if you are showing your child how you can take care of your mind and your body in the best way you can during this kind of situation, that again goes back to resiliency. And then how do you help your child really develop healthy skills?
Very important. Prioritize self-care, both yours as a parent, and sometimes parents forget their own self-care because they're so concerned and so looking after children. But children are watching us as parents. They are doing what we do. And even more important than what we say is what we do. So prioritizing our self-care, as you said, Nancy, so important. And then prioritizing the self-care of our children. I like that. Very key message to take away as a listener today. Nancy, thank you so much for joining us today. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me. Stay healthy, stay calm.
And stay safe. I love that. And again, listeners, if you want more information about Nancy Kislin, K-I-S-L-I-N, please go to nancykislintherapy.com. Also, remember that if you're interested in learning more about your children's worlds, specifically in terms of the most popular tween and teen entertainment choices and pop culture, go to pluggedinparent.guide and sign up for your free weekly weekly newsletter. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.